What's up, everybody? We feel super productive. We've had meetings before the live show this morning, but it's Tuesday, December 6th. We're going to talk about Jim Farley seems very pleased. Best Buy is a warehouse studio, and Wazers are getting excited.
Everywhere I go,
Wazers.
The people really Wazers. Know who I
is and who I know. Being such a Wazer, not. Eh? I feel like, that's a Canadian word for some reason. Quit being such a Wazer, eh? All right, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Why did you become like South California right there?
Wazer, eh? I feel like that was like, did you ever see the movie Strange Brew?
Nope,
missed that. Oh my gosh, Rick Moranis. Oh, it's Rick Moranis, Dan Aykroyd, epic Canadian hockey. Michael Cirillo knows what I'm talking about. Guaranteed 100% he has seen Strange Brew. We have a year-end extravaganza coming up. I can't believe, like, it's like 2 weeks away from today, dude.
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks today. I know. I can't believe it's going to be December 20th, 2 weeks from today, because it still hasn't snowed in Syracuse. It's like 48, 50 degrees.
Last night I told my wife, we were just hanging out watching a little baking show, and I turned to her. I was like,
which one?
I think, what's that?
Which baking show?
Holiday Baking Championship. It's December, man. Come on. What else? What other baking show would you be watching? Got Jesse Palmer and the whole nine yards, right? Mile High Cakes. I turned to her. I was like, I think December's over. And then like 2 minutes later, I was like, I feel like NADA is done too.
It's already, right. It just, spring is just around the corner. Tax returns are coming. We'll just skip that middle part that none of us really want to go through. Also, hey, we want to give a good shout of congratulations out to our friends at CBT News, Jim and Bridget Fitzpatrick. Yo. Founded CBT 10 years ago. Already. 10 years ago already. Look, we know what it's like to have to make news every day, all day, and they have been pioneers. They've been pushing the boundaries. They did it. It's easy to forget. Like when they started that, there was really nothing else other than automotive. Well,
video wasn't even a big deal 10 years ago. Like, I mean, it was starting. YouTube had been around like 6 years or something like that. So to do that and not be like a regular TV show was still kind of a new entrant type thing. So kudos.
Yeah, kudos to you and your whole team. My very first automotive event, full event, was actually the CBT News event back when they did events in Atlanta. So that got me all fired up back then. So just congrats to you. Enjoy it. And thank you very much for what you're doing for the industry. All right, let's talk about some news. We have a fun show today.
Speaking of someone who's doing something for the industry.
Segway.
Actually, we needed all of those things.
Pulled that off. We got the record scratch in there and everything. I just was like, thumbs was on
kinda,
the trigger pad.
That was
kind
of the way everyone felt in the room probably yesterday.
Well, Ford CEO Jim Farley seems pleased that about 2/3 of U.S. Ford dealers have opted into the new EV certification plan that will allow enrolled dealers to sell EVs beyond 2023. So everyone can sell them next year. I didn't realize that. But after 2023, only the people in the program, 1,920 dealers have signed on, with 85% of those choosing the top level, the certified elite track, which involves an investment of about $1.2 million. It's not easy going, right? We have New York, we have Illinois, we have Connecticut, a lot of other things. Our boy Don Hall down there in Virginia, everyone is pushing back. A lot of states are pushing back, citing potential violations of franchise laws, lawsuits, motor vehicle board petitions, etc. Here's an interesting part. Farley has maintained that Tesla started this, basically, bet against dealers. Tesla said, we're betting against dealers. And Farley says, I intend to keep dealers around. He says the future of the franchise system hangs in the balance here. The number one EV player in the U.S. bet against dealers, and we wanted to make the opposite choice.
It's such an interesting kind of, we heard what he said at the Ford dealer meetings, and then he says this at the Automotive News Congress yesterday, and the general pushback from the state associations and a lot of dealers that you talk to is like, hey, Jim Farley seems like he's against the dealer, but the portrayal from a verbal perspective is this is for the dealer. This is actually enhancing our dealer relationship. And so there's a communication gap here for sure. And I wonder,
I think it's a trust gap more than a communication gap.
Well, here's my question is if 2/3 of your dealer body, which is probably all of your urban and suburban dealers,
for sure,
right, are saying, hey, we're in on this plan, whether, I mean, I understand there's a force, you know, there's a level of force and the timing and all that type of stuff from a commitment perspective. But like, if like those 1920 dealers could have got together and been like, nah. Hey, this.
Yeah. He compelled that many, right?
What's that?
They've compelled that many, whether right. through to the takeaway forward. Or it's, through
it's
the vision.
It's almost like in order to sell EVs, you were going to have to invest $1.2 million anyway.
Yeah.
So why not commit to the program?
Without a doubt. Right. Yeah. So I think, you know how sometimes people have the same end goal in mind, but their philosophy on how that gets achieved best is just different. So I think the real question swirling, right, is Jim Farley a dealer advocate? An advocate for the dealership model, or is he positioning the company in a way where they can be that now, but then they're going to pull away, which I think are the questions that are surrounding. I know a lot of dealers who love Farley, right? A lot of dealers do. Obviously, 1920 signed on to give at least a shot to see how it's going to go. I think they asked like if he regretted going into this, because obviously there's a lot of conflict. He said, no, I stand by the rollout of the company. He said this, there's always a better way. But I don't think we made any really big mistakes. So I think that's kind of heads up, right? Just being like, look, there's always a better way to do it. Like we did the best we could. I don't think we made any tragic mistakes. And we're going to see how it goes, regardless of whether you like it or you don't like it. It's in the motion. It's happening. They're a legal contest.
I still think they have some of the best chance to rival. Unless Toyota kind of like presses the gas pedal and goes quicker, I think they
Let's
have
the best. Let's call it the accelerator, Kyle.
Yeah, the gas
pedal. Can't call it the gas pedal anymore.
Oh my goodness. Accelerator.
He's like, we're there. Fine. We're there. Fine.
We're already there. We can't even say the gas pedal. Right? We got to talk about Teslas and EVs. Okay, Paul.
It's going to be like the phone button on my phone that my kids don't know what it is because it's a picture of a phone and they've never seen a handset before.
Someone put a cell phone on there, right?
I'm sorry to derail you, but you're like saying unless Toyota really decides to lean in.
Really decides to lean in and press the accelerator pedal on EVs. Ford has the closest, earliest chance with, you know, the number of EVs that they're bringing to market, the way that they're positioning themselves in the market. They have the best chance at gaining more of that market share early. And so, you know, I think that's why probably dealers are going, hey, let's get on board with this. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. Like nothing's going to crush us for 3 years. We're still stable. We're in a good position and let's ride it out. So I'm fairly optimistic, although I understand that there are still a lot of people that are still raising a big old eyebrow at Mr. Jim Farley.
Big old eyebrow. I love that. Well, he did say too, he said like, look, let's be clear. It's like Ford, our goal is to be number two as fast as possible. Right. Yeah. He's like, we're not playing for like, we're going to be right on the tail. Thank you for everybody leaving comments in the live stream. Sorry. Sometimes it's a little delayed by the time we see them. So Brian, thanks for dropping comments about sales and service EVs. Isaac's dropping comments about the remix button. Adam Ross is groaning about the gas pedal metaphor. Says, what about dialing a rotary phone? So we appreciate all the interaction in the comments. Also, if you're in LinkedIn, I think Facebook too, Instagram, no, we're not on Instagram. You can hit the little thumbs up or the like buttons when you see something that you like or that you want to support. So when people come back and watch it, they'll understand and you get to make your voice heard. Speaking of making your voice heard when it comes to consumers.
Rotary phone calls?
No rotary phone calls. No rotary phone calls. This shocked me. Hey, by the way, Kyle, did you know that Best Buy is a 40,000 square foot warehouse next to his headquarters? Did you know that? Here's my question to you. Do you know where Best Buy's headquarters is? I did not know this, which is why I'm asking you, and I didn't put it in the show notes so you don't know.
No, but I feel like it's in Ohio somewhere. Ooh, I could be wrong about that.
Okay, it's in Richfield, Minnesota.
Minnesota, wow.
Right outside Minneapolis, St. Paul. So they have this 40,000 square foot warehouse next to its headquarters where there are 120 employees, and the warehouse is built like a studio set. It's so got smart. Great lighting. It's got this environment ready to give virtual human to human service on 10 categories of products, everything from cameras to treadmills. So basically you can virtually link into this through, you know, like online portals. I don't know exactly how you get in, but when you get in, there's somebody, a human on the other side that will actually walk you around the product. What did you want to see? You want to see this? Let me show you this treadmill. Let me like show you where the buttons are.
So what you're telling me, Paul, is they have a showroom.
Yep.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, they have a studio. They have a studio.
Right, but I mean, look at our showrooms. Look at the dealer showrooms. They're literally studios. They got.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. I mean, I see what you're saying. Like where the products are displayed and people can kind of make a connection with the actual product and where the little nuances of it are. Because you know the stuff that people ask.
So you're telling me that retail establishments see a value in some sort of studio-like environment with great lighting, yes. Tons of natural light, the ability to virtual video in order to serve customers in a virtual retail experience?
Yes.
You mean that's a thing?
And apparently they've served over 250,000 people there since 2001 when they started it in what they call, I love this phrase, digital clienteling. These are our clientele.
Well, you think about it.
That changes the whole vibe, doesn't it?
I mean, it's a concierge type of service. I mean, it is a high, I feel like that's an elevated type of service.
I feel like that's a Nordstrom term, right? Yes. We're clienteling. So, since they've done this, actually, their customer satisfaction scores have gone up 20% overall. And, you know, they can connect. Oh, here I had some notes. They can connect via an app, via chat, phone calls, live streaming, or even screen sharing. They have 200 additional remote members that also provide the service they can answer questions about technology. And their online sales this year are on track to be 5X what they were pre-pandemic.
And that's wild because we're seeing a lot of digital companies that are heavy in e-commerce actually seeing that decline at a rapid rate. And so I think that still, like, if you serve the customer where they're at in a unique and creative ways, which is what they're doing, you can continue to do business in multiple different environments. So whether it's brick and mortar or online, they've found a way to capture an audience and engage them in a different way than maybe everybody else, which is just like, well, here's my fancy website. They put some people behind it, put an experience behind it. When you do that, when you put people and experience behind anything, I don't care what it was, people will be attracted to it. So I think that's the lesson here for me is, hey, look, whether it's a 40,000 square foot warehouse, a 20,000 square foot dealership, or a virtual online experience, like all of those places can craft a unique experience with people behind it, and they'll create a higher level of engagement than anything. It doesn't matter whether it's pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, whether we talk about pandemic or all, that's just the recipe for good business.
Yes, success. Connection happens through engagement. But yeah, we should, you know, we need to dial in and record this. I got to see what this experience is like. Oh, I'm super, fun. Super, super curious.
What do you want to buy? You want to try and buy a PS5?
I don't know if I want to buy anything.
Just want to see.
Yeah, but
can you demonstrate to me the treadmill, please? Run faster.
Does it work?
Faster.
Does it still work when you run backwards on it?
Show me that.
Just give them all the directions you want. Speaking of giving directions.
Stop. Segway. Time. Mm.
Wazer, being such a Wazer.
Are you a Wazer?
I'm not. I was going to ask you the same question. Wazer, so Wazers around the world rejoice because Renault becomes the first car manufacturer to package the popular map system, Waze is what we're talking about, directly into a vehicle's multimedia system without the need for a smartphone. So it's integrated. People that have Waze love Waze because I wish I knew more about it, but as far as I know, like, you earn points in Waze. They've gamified it.
Yeah, they've gamified it. And like, there's a lot more interactions you can take about notifying other people of what's on the road. But doesn't Google own Waze?
So they do. And you start to see some Waze integrations now in Google Maps, and they take the data. Like, when you know where people are in traffic and how, that's because people are on Google or are on Waze in some way, and they can track.
You know, where a cop is, you know, where an accident is.
Wasn't going to say it. Here's a quote from Aaron DeCastro, Director of Marketing and Partnerships at Waze. He says, having Waze's real-time navigation, routing, and alerts built into the display of Renault's vehicles makes for a simplified and seamless driving experience. And this is only possible because they're running on the Android platform. Android Automotive. And you've said this before, Kyle. You're like, good, because we should let the software
develop the software. Yeah, so it's probably kind of fast. It probably actually works. The touchscreen is dynamic.
It probably actually works.
You know, so I think it's a great call, and putting in some of the app ecosystem is really smart. I mean, the genius play here is to like do some level of mirroring with the phone, right? Have a looped login system, and create basically the same technology. I mean, it's similar to like if an Apple user has their iPhone and their iPad and their Mac, like you just add another entity to your digital ecosystem, which can now be the car, right? Mm. So you have your Android phone, your Dell computer, and your, you know, and just everything works together, seamlessly integrates, all your logins move together. Like there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to go copy all my settings from my previous car. Boom, here it is in the next car. So gosh, I think all of that, just like Waze is just like the first step a digital ecosystem.
Absolutely.
That involves your car.
Charles Higgins just dropped a comment. He said Waze also facilitates rideshare, which is an interesting thing to think about. Other manufacturers are also currently building on the Android automotive system, have not yet released. Polestar, General Motors, Chevrolet, and Volvo with Honda being soon on the way. It's going to be very interesting. Like, have you ever logged in? Is this the first time someone's logging into their Google account in their car's OS? It's got to be.
So smart.
It's got to be. Well, I mean, without a doubt, we got some good things to look forward to. I mean, now Google will know everything. Your driving habits, your braking habits. It's going to be awesome. They know if you like to go fast or slow.
Talk about insurance integration next.
Oh, hey. Google Insurance. Let's go. Oh, it's Tuesday. You have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. Hopefully, you can go share some of this information out, let people know what's going on. And if you haven't yet, sign up for our email at asoto.com.